my testimony. What has God done for me? I was born at a very early age. My mother was there at the time. I was born in a two-up, two-down kitchen house in a back street called Island Street in Belfast. Number 80. I remember being told by my parents that the railway ran across, the County Down Railway ran across the back of the house. And my Aunt Mattie used to get me in her arms when we were about a year, 2 years old, and take us up into the back room when the trains were coming. Do you want to see the trains? And then she would take us up the stairs, and when the train started to come, she said, no, you're not seeing it. It was all good sport. It was good sport. She wasn't being nasty. But that was the sort of family I had. A good, fun-loving family. I had good parents. Godly parents. Look, they were godly parents, but they weren't saved. They knew that God was there, and they believed in God, but they never went to church. They sent myself and my two brothers to church. When I was three, they moved from Belfast to Hollywood. Hollywood. We lived in the White City Estate. We were there from the time I was three until the time I was seven. And then we moved to the Redburn Estate. Because they were they knew about God and they believed that we should be taught scriptures, they sent us to Sunday school. They didn't go themselves. But we went to a Presbyterian church. Later, when it was too much to take us for us to go into Hollywood from the estate to Hollywood, when we went to the Redburn estate, some Christians come around and said, "We're starting having a Sunday school down in Hollywood. We'll get your children and we'll take them to Sunday school." That was Hollywood Gospel Hall. And I was there from about 11 years of age until I was 17 in the Bible class. And I learned Bible stories. Brethren are faithful. I learned Bible stories and I learned memory verses. All the verses. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All those great biblical verses. When I was 12 years of age, I was sitting at the dinner table and my dad came in from the shipyard and he sat sitting eating their dinner and he said, "Your Uncle Eddie wants to know if you'd like to do ballroom dancing." I said, "All right, well, I'm game for anything." So we went down had to go into Belfast to John Bradley School of Dancing on the Woodstock Road, 12 years of age, and we learned how to do a waltz. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It was great. I loved dancing. I got my bronze award, I got my silver award, I got my gold award, I got my gold star award, and then we started doing junior competition dancing. We progressed. When I was about 16, 17, Lila, I met Lila in a dance hall. At that time, I was practicing to dance on Come Dancing. I was chosen to represent Northern Ireland. It was in the days when the presenter had to say, "The lady in the black dress is wearing a red dress." You know, it was just black and white TV. You young people don't know what you're missing. The descriptions we got. But I got that privilege to dance for North of Ireland. And later on, Lila and I became partners and we danced in the Sammy Houston formation team. Again on Come Dancing. But the problem was, dancing was my God. When I was going to the Bible class, I took with me a little briefcase under my arm. And it looked very good going in and out of the gospel hall, let me tell you. You were sort of half decently dressed in your Sunday going and weekend clothes. And this briefcase, it looked as if you had a big Bible or something in it. But in my briefcase was a pair of black patent dancing shoes. And as soon as the Bible class finished, I was run up 150 yards, got on the bus and went up to the Plaza Ballroom in Belfast. And danced the rest of the night away. That was my early youth. I loved to dance. I felt myself doing that this morning. I still love to dance. But I can't get involved with dancing because I don't know where it'll take me. I have to be careful. Were you watching Come Dancing last night? I was shouting at the screen. I love it. but I can't go there because it would become my God again. When Lila and I started going out, I was about 17, we started going out again. We started courting, and when I was 18 and a half, well, I was 17, I was only with her about 6 months, and I said, "Here, do you want to get engaged?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Oh, great, I didn't want to get involved there." But it wasn't long after that, we did get engaged. And we got married. Lila was 21 when we got married. I was 19. I was her toy boy. I was a child bride. We got married. And that was 1969. I was working in the shipyard as an electrician. Oh, by the way, electricians, if you know any electricians, point this out to them. I got this in the Daily Mail just a couple of days ago. What a payday, WATT. Rodney will understand that. Britain's Sparky's on £150,000 a year. Not bad, is it? Wish I was back at the twos now. But I was an electrician in the shipyard. I got married when I was 19. When I was 21, our first child came along, our first son Jackie came along. 4 months later, when I had just finished my apprenticeship, they paid me off. I got paid off. I'm on the dole for about 4 months. A friend of Lila's daddy's said to me, there's a job going down in the County Down Railway if you want it. So I went down there, got onto the railway, was there for 2 years. I loved it. I really enjoyed the railway. But then our second son came along. And the money on the railway is grim. It's bleak. So I had to go back to the tools, back into the shipyard, and I was there until 1981. 1974. We were having some arguments, and Lila started feeling guilty because she was a backslider. When she met me, she was a backslider, but I didn't help. I just didn't help. And she started feeling guilty. 79. What did I say, love? 70. No, leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. 1974. She started feeling guilty about being a backslider. And we had these arguments, and I said, "Okay, well, I'll tell you, I'll become a Christian, and you can get back to Jesus, and we'll just go to church." So we did that. We went to the church Lila went to when she was a younger girl, where she was saved, and it was only 150, 200 yards down the street, didn't have to turn a corner. It was called Rathmore Street Evangelical Church. And again, it was one of those churches, didn't have a pastor, but it had people from different churches, and it was brethrenistic. And the teaching I got in that place was wonderful. And they still do it today. They still preach it today. I was there on my first Sunday over here. I went back to them and they told me again, they still pray for me every day. Isn't that amazing? So we started going there. 6 months later, all gone. Forget it. We were back in doing all the things that we normally did. Out drinking. I was out drinking on a Friday, Saturday night, maybe Wednesday night. I used to go and stand at the one-armed bandit. When all the other men came and put their money in the machine, we would wait for an hour and then we'd put our pound in and out came the jackpot. But I was never an alcoholic by any means, but I went out and had a drink. I smoked 30 cigarettes a day. I smoked 20 cigarettes in the shipyard, come home and smoked 10 of Lila's. So I wasn't a good boy, but I wasn't a bad boy. I was asked to join the UGA, but I was more afraid of Lila than the boys in the UGA, so I didn't join it. When we went back to those days, and we went back to that sort of life, and we just kept on living that way. Can I just say that if you come to church on a Sunday morning regularly, and you think you're a Christian, can I ask you to make sure you're a Christian? You can come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and you put on your good suit and you put on a smile and you come and you say the right things because you've heard it said many, many times and you think you're a Christian but you're not. Please turn to Christ and be saved properly. Because when I said, "I'll become a Christian and you can get restored," that's not the way of salvation. By no means. I went along a few times and it looked good and it felt good, but the devil came and he took it all away. And that's what he will do with you, kind person, who is not saved this morning, but come to church. Come today and trust him for salvation and know you're saved. Because in 1979, Lila, we had more problems, we were having more arguments, and Lila was feeling guilty again, and I said, okay, well, just do whatever you like. I'm not going back to that church. She was invited to the Barry Muir Crusade, a Canadian with a big, big white tent in Ormo Park in Belfast, and she said, no, I can't go. This was a neighbour just up the street, good neighbour, just up the street, and she said, no, I can't go. Jackie wouldn't let me. I wouldn't have. Would have been trouble. She said, I couldn't get anybody to look after the children. And this lady said, CEF are doing a children's mission at the same time. And all you ought to do, leave them with them, go into the big meeting and come back and get your children. They won't let them out until you collect them. So Lila went. She came home and I'm lying on the settee. Let it go light. She got down on her knees, right here where my head was, and she gently pushed me. And she says, Jackie, I've done it. I've come back to the Lord. And I said, that's all I said. The devil came in. And hell came in. And for a week, I was evil. I was bad. And the trouble and the grief I gave that woman was disgusting. The things I said to her. Now, I didn't physically abuse her. I might have accidentally shouldered her. Accidentally, of course. But what I said to that woman, who just got so restored to Christ, I did all I could to get her away. On the 4th of July, and I'm still right, on the 4th of July, we went to bed. And the bed was against the wall in our little two-up, two-down house. It was propped against the wall, and Lila was on the inside of the bed. And I'm lying there. How can I get at her now? What can I do? So I said there, will you move over a bit? So she moved over, and her nose was practically against the wall. 5 minutes later, what's wrong? Am I not good enough to lie with now that you're good living? So she moved over. No complaints, nothing. And I have to admit, she did that all week. She never bit when I told her something. 10 minutes later, will you move over, give me some... That went on all night. Back and forward, back and forth. Anything to annoy her, to get her to flip, to get her to lose her temper so that I could get at her, stick a knife at her, and then move on. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I said something to her, and she came back at me with an answer, and I said, I'll give my head peace. God spoke to me. If you want peace, there's only one place you're going to find it. And I never opened my mouth until about 7 o'clock in the morning. I sat there and I wrestled with God. And back came all the memory verses I'd learned in Hollywood Gospel Hall. And God, the Holy Spirit, stuck a knife in me time and time again with all these verses, convicting me of my sin and showing me my need of a Savior. And about 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, all I could do was surrender. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm yours. And He saved me. You'll notice the first time I got saved, I said to Lila, I'll get saved, and you get restored. This time, God saved me. I didn't get saved. God saved me. And when He saved me, what He put in my heart was totally, totally different from what I had before. If you're not a Christian this morning, turn to Christ. If you want peace, if you want joy in your heart, if you want that assurance that you're going to heaven, turn to Christ, because there's no other way. Don't go on thinking and pretending you're a Christian if you're not. The joy that I had from that moment, about 5 o'clock on the 5th of June 1979, was wonderful. I went into the shipyard. I told the guys in the yard what I was doing, what I'd done. I'd trusted the Lord. I went to the Barry Muir Crusade that night, and I went up to the front, just to prove to me that I was okay. They took me out the back and they made me sign a card. Didn't need to sign a card. God had saved me about 12 or 14 hours before. I went to the shipyard, told all the fellas, but Lila started praying. You see, Lila was a backslider, and she knew the way things had to be done, and she started to pray. And she said, Lord, give Jackie a Christian friend. And a week later, my apprentice went to the Barry Muir Crusade and was saved. God give me that Christian friend. If you want something done, ask Lila, and she'll pray, and God will answer her prayers. Don't ask her to get God to beat me, because he'll do it. Don't get revenge on me through Lila. But what I'm saying is, she started praying, give him a Christian friend. And we witnessed together. About 2 weeks after we were both saved, we went into our little dugout, and we took down all the page 3 girls off the wall. Not one person said, what have you done? Not one person criticized. God took control. We witnessed to other men. We didn't go and say, you need to be saved, friend. You know that you're a sinner. We didn't say that. We had fun with these guys. If we had told them that, they would have told us where to go in no uncertain terms. So we had fun with them. I remember we had to go into a particular... We're going to be here about 3 o'clock. Is that all right? I've just noticed the time. We had to go into a machine. The burners in this machine were about there, about 2 feet off the ground. And we had to go in and set the little electrodes, a spark, and set off the gas. But although the burner was about there, the burner was there and there was that much slide under the burner, and we had to go in, and we went in, we were filthy when we come out. So they give us white duck suits. A duck suit has elastic around the wrists, elastic around the ankles, and it's all white, and had this big white hood that came over our head, down to about here, and we wore white rags around our mouth to keep the dust out. And we would walk around, Lawrence and myself, and we'd walk around and say, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than snow. And they got it! They got the banter, and they got the message. We saw, Lawrence and I saw 2 other men saved. And we thank God for that witness. We saw 2 more men saved. As far as I'm aware, they still go on with the Lord. 1980. Lila started praying again. You said, don't trust this woman. We asked her to pray for you. She started praying and she said, Lord, show Jackie. It's not just sitting in a meeting. Show them their service to do. So we did. And he laid on my heart to go and work with the young people. And from the young people, I got involved with the children's work. And the guy who was in charge of the meeting, I told him, I went to my elder and he told me to see Tommy Nelson. I spoke to Tommy Nelson and said, okay, you can do the story next week. What? I don't want to do it that quick. But he gave me the story and I got up on the pulpit at the children's meeting with a piece of paper that says, and that was my Bible story. And I was down in about 5 minutes. It was terrible. But I kept on it, I persevered. And then at the prayer meeting, she got me going to the prayer meeting. I got to the prayer meeting. And every Thursday night, the elder got up and he said, pray for David and Margaret Wilson. Margaret Adamson. Don't forget the Adamsons. Pray for David and Margaret. Remember David and Margaret. Who are these people? Why am I to pray for these people? So about, after listening to this for about 3 or 4 months, we wrote a letter to David and Margaret Adamson. I want to come and visit you and see who you are and what you do. And we went down to Limerick. It was Lila, myself, and our 2 boys. There was Lawrence, my apprentice, and 3 other young people in the church. We hired a minibus. We went down to Limerick. We stayed a weekend, and we just fell in love with this couple. They were CEF missionaries in Limerick, and they were doing all sorts of stuff. 5 weeks later, we went down and we gave up our 2 week summer holiday from the yard. The 12th fortnight. Did you know there was 12 fortnights in July? It's stupid, isn't it? It was the 12th fortnight in July. And we went down there and we just gave our time. And we were doing something like 7 open air meetings a day with children in Limerick. We went there and we did a meeting. We jumped into the bus and we went somewhere else. And we didn't know, went somewhere else. We had no idea. We were down in IRA territory. We didn't even know it. But the joy of doing it. And I was injected with a big CEF hypodermic. And I come back and we started our own Good News Club in a friend's house. The 6 of us who went down, we started a Good News Club. The elder son told us, well, if you're going to do this sort of stuff, you need to be trained. I went to a CEF training class. Loved it. Another injection. Got involved with the Good News Clubs. I was invited onto the CEF committee in East Belfast. I went along to that. I got involved in Junior Youth Challenge, 11 to 14 year olds. I got involved. I'm lying on the ship. I'm lying in the shipyard. Plant maintenance. I don't know what you do. You do plant maintenance, Robin? Dennis does. Plant maintenance. We just fix the machines. But if a machine's working, you don't touch it. Just leave it alone. So at night, come 12 o'clock on the night shift, the beds come out, and our electrician's beds come out. One had a big foam rubber bed, it was like that, 6 feet long, and he lay down on that. I was on the bench, in my sleeping bag, would you believe, with my head on the vice, and my overalls below my head. And I lay there, and I read my Bible with the light of the big stuff, big spotlights coming in through the lights. And I read my Bible, and I was preparing a Bible story for the kids. And God led me to John chapter 21, which we read a little earlier, where he said, "Dear Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." And that was strange. I read that before, and I didn't know where it was, but I knew it was there before. And I went to a little old man, we called him the angel. He was a brilliant Christian. And he just put the dirty Old Testament out of his pocket, and he said, "I think you'll find it in John 21. Yes, there you are. What a lesson to learn God's Word. And he showed me where it was, and I went back to my bed, and I started reading. And as I read, I believed God was saying to me, "I want you to feed my lambs. Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep." So I went and I spoke with the national director of CEF. And when I spoke to him, he said to me, "Well, we'll get you to do 3 years Bible college. Well, no, you're a bit older. We'll get you to do 2 year Bible college course." "What age are you, Jackie?" And I said, "I'm 31. He said, "Well, maybe a year will do you." What an encouragement. So I went up. He told me to go and see Val English, one of the tutors up in Belfast Bible College at the time. I went up and Val said to me, "Why do you want to go to Bible college?" And I started just giving him my testimony. And as I give him my testimony about what God had taken me from, what he saved me from, and how he had led me and directed me and got me involved in CEF, and I just wanted to reach children with the gospel in CEF. And as I left that place, that's all he asked me to do, tell him why. And I gave it to him. Half an hour I spoke. What's quicker than today? I spoke for half an hour, and he said, "Thanks very much, Jackie. I'll write to you." Shook hands, and off I went. But I was walking about there, because I looked back, and I saw what God did for me over 2 years. Amazing stuff God did for me. I prepared this morning, and as I looked over 36 years, what God has done for me and Lila in these last years, it's amazing what God has done and what God can do. And I come here this morning, and I'm so elated at what God has done. Scared about having to say it, but elated about what God has done. Could I suggest you go home this afternoon, you get your chicken dinner, your steak dinner, your beef dinner, whatever it is you get, and sit down in a little room on your own with your Bible and say, "Lord, what have you done for me?" And look over your Christian life and then count your blessings. Name them one by one, and it'll surprise you what the Lord has done. And you'll be walking on air. He called us to Bible college. I went to the college and I had my official interview, and they said, "No, we're not giving you a 1 year course." And David McCulkin said, "We will offer you a 3 year course." "Thanks very much. I'll go to the Baptist church." Between the interview and going to the Baptist church, I went to the CEF conference in Portrush at Easter. Lila took care of the boys. And the evening missionary meeting, she was with the boys walking along the beach or whatever. And I went and sat in the missionary meeting. And I sat there and I said, "Lord, if you want me to go to the south of Ireland, you show me tonight when all these southern workers give their reports." So I'm sitting there, and each southern worker, five of them, got up and they give their reports. Wonderful reports of what God was doing in the south of Ireland. But he didn't speak to me. "Oh, Lord." So I said, "Okay, well, I'll try something else, Lord." And 5 minutes later, the main speaker got up and he said, "Over these next 3 or 4 days at conference, we're going to look at Nehemiah." Now, Nehemiah did a great work for the Lord. He built a wall around Jerusalem. But the first thing he did was he got his foundations right. And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll do 3 years. And off I went to Bible college for 3 years. Great. Again, wonderful 3 years. What God did for us. The provision. We had no money coming in. No money at all. For the first year, church paid our fees, and God provided everything else. Lila got a job in the CEF office, a small wage, and God provided more, and it all came in. He provided everything we needed. At the end of that 3 years, I finished with a diploma of biblical studies. That's all. I had no other qualifications. I left school without a qualification. No GCSEs, no GCEs, no O levels. Didn't even have a spirit level. But when I finished college with a diploma of biblical studies, 2 days later I was over in Switzerland at the CF Institute, and we did their 4 month leadership training institute, and we come home and we applied and were accepted to work with CEF. We were on a probationary year. We worked in Northeast Down, in and around the Ards Peninsula. We worked with a guy called Roy and Ann Graham, But they were actually told me that we were on deputation to go to Manchester for the next year. So actually, I did most of the work, most of the teacher training. And they often went to Manchester, and the local committee invited me to be their local director. And we said yes. 2 years later, the national director, David McQuilton, asked me if I would take a trainee called Ian Stewart and his wife, Kathy. They came from Bangor. And about 9 months into his probationary year, I said, what are your plans for the future? He says, I'm going to work here. I said, no, you're not. This is my idea. This is my area. He said, no, listen, God has told me that he's taken me back to the land of my fathers, and I come from Bangor. This is my area. So we had this sort of quiet agreement that, no, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. The local director of East Belfast announced that he was called to Preston in England. And he planned and up he went. And Lila said to me, do you fancy East Belfast? Where we came from, where we lived, where we brought up our children. And I just said, no. Why not? Because a prophet's without honour in his own country. I'm not going back. I'm the director of North East Down. She prayed. She prayed. She came back to me a little later. She says, if David McQuilkin asked you to go to East Belfast, what will you do? I said, well, I'll tell him, I'll pray about it, but that's it. She prayed. She prayed again. And David McQuilkin asked me to go to East Belfast. So I said, okay, David will pray about it. And I'm sitting reading Jonah. Jonah. And we all know Jonah. He ran away. And I was running away from East Belfast. I knew that. I knew it then. Running away from East Belfast. And I said, Lord, if you want me to go to East Belfast, you better show me Belfast in the Bible today. Gotcha. Belfast not in the Bible. Certainly not East Belfast. So I went on and I got reading to Jonah, and I got to the part where he ran away, and he came back and he preached the gospel, and he sat under the gourd, and the gourd withered. Do you know where he sat in that gourd? This is what the Bible said. And Jonah went and he sat at the east of the city. Come on, Lord. Next few verses, there are 150,000 people in the city don't know their right hand from their left. Right. Ring, ring, ring. Again, you don't understand this. Ring, ring, ring. Had to turn it round. Answer the phone. Census people, how many people live in East Belfast? And he told me there was something like 200,000 people in East Belfast, 200,000 people in West Belfast, 250 in North and 250 in South. Couldn't get out of it. Nearly 100,000 people. Sorry, help me. Nearly a million people in Belfast, wherever it was. Okay, Lord. I'll go to East Belfast. And we moved to East Belfast. And we were there for about 5 or 6 years. I'm going to finish in a minute. And we'll have to finish this tonight. That's just to get you back. We moved to East Belfast. I went on visitation. I went to a minister in Dundonald, which is another political area, but it's attached to Belfast. And it came under my remit as East Belfast area. And I spoke to this Church of Ireland minister, and I told him just what I've told you. And he said to me, do you know how many people live in East Belfast and Dundonald? According to the census, what do you want to have a guess? 150,000 people. Exactly what God said in Jonah chapter 4. God confirmed it. And we had 5 wonderful years in CEF in East Belfast. We went there and there were 12 good news clubs and a committee. That was it. 5 years later when we left 22 good news clubs. We left 3 junior youth challenges, 11 to 14. We left a senior youth challenge, 15 to 25. We had 2 camps instead of 1. We had conferences. We did youth challenge camps. We did great things. God did great things for us. Although I'm telling you all this, what Jackie and Lila Brown have done, we could never ever do it without God's help, without God's call, without God's confirmation from His Word. Could I say, just backtrack a second, and say to anybody here who has a boyfriend or girlfriend, who has a wife or a husband who's not saved, don't give up on them. Pray for them. They'll have prayed for me. Even how bad I was there, she prayed for me and God saved me. You people, if you have a spouse or a boyfriend or whatever, keep praying for them. And by your witness, it was her witness that won me. By your witness, God will bring your spouse to Christ. He may not do it today. It may take him another 20 years. But wait for him. He will do it. God told me about East Belfast. I'm going to finish with this and I'll leave you on a low point. On a low point, my son was invited along to an Amway presentation. You know what Amway is? They started off making soap, but they do all sorts of things now. And you go to a presentation, and basically as you join up under another agent, and then you get six people under you, and they get six people under them, and every time they make money, you make money. I thought, brilliant idea. I could get a group of my committee members in East Belfast, and I could get them making money, and we'll put it all into the work, and we'll serve the Lord with all this money. David McQuilkin, the boss, found out about it. Found out. I don't know who told him, the dirty rat, but they told him. And he called a committee meeting, and he said, Jackie, you can't do this. The rules are you're not allowed to have a second job. You serve CEF, and that's it. Went to the committee meeting, and we had a discussion. That morning, Lila and I were sitting, knowing we were going to this ultimatum in the committee meeting, and we read our Bible, we asked God to show us, and God says, at your walking out, you will not stumble. That was the message God gave us. Yes, great. Went to the meeting that night, discussion after discussion, can we not keep him? We want him, David. We do want him to go, David. He can't do it. He can't go. He has to leave. That was the ultimatum. I said, hold on a minute. I'm resigning. And they all looked down and said, you can't resign. I'm resigning. God has told us to leave it, to walk away. So we came out of CEF. And we were in the wilderness for 3 years. See, the problem was, although we were doing what God said, we didn't ask him, what do you want us to walk out of? CEF or Amway? And the little eyes went spinning around and the pound signs come up. Yes, for God's work. But we left CEF in the wilderness for 3 years. 3 months after we left, Amway fell away for us. Useless. Complete waste of time and a complete waste of my ministry in CEF. I'll tell you the rest tonight.